No, you really can become anything you want to be. Do you remember when you were younger and everyone was telling you you could be anything you wanted to be? It's strange because many of those people will have turned out to be hypocrites. Tell them now that you want to be the next Bill Gates, and they'll probably tell you to stop daydreaming and get a job. Nice. But the fact is, they were right the first time. It actually is possible to be anything you want to be, and the amazing thing is that it's easier today than it has ever been. Let's take a look at why that is. How to be whatever you want to be tomorrow. Actually, being whatever you want to be is incredibly easy. Want to be a writer? Then start writing tonight. Congratulations, you are now a writer. Want to be a swimmer? Then start swimming. Congratulations, you're now a swimmer. Sure, in these cases, you aren't being paid to do what you want to do, and you're not professional, but that doesn't change the fact that you are a writer or a swimmer. And as soon as you start trying to be paid for it, you become professional. Does the fact that you have no clients yet mean you're not a freelancer? Once you realize this, things get better right away. You don't have to make your day job who you are, because you can make your hobby who you are, or your side project. It doesn't matter if you hate your work, and it's not satisfying as long as you're doing something else that gives you hope and purpose. Making it big. And if you try hard enough, then eventually you'll be able to go professional with what you do. The reason is that if you write enough, you'll eventually learn how to get good at it and how to find clients. Ever heard of the 10,000-hour rule? It means that you can put 10,000 hours into anything and become a master of it that way. Do the thing you love every night, and then eventually you'll be great at it. What if the opportunity to make it big never comes? Well, in that case, you can make the opportunity. Save enough money in your day job, for instance, and you can put that money into self-publishing your book or into producing your own music video. And who cares even if it's successful? Now you're a writer or a singer and lots of people have seen your work. So honestly, you really can be anything you want to be. Here's how you do something amazing and change the world. Ever wanted to change the world? Come on, be honest. Most of us on some level would probably like it if we could make a big impact on the world, or do something amazing at least. But we're too afraid to, because we don't think that it's something we can possibly accomplish. You see, most of us know our place. We realize that we work a 9-to-5 job, put food on the table, and then go to bed. We leave the groundbreaking stuff to the others. But what you maybe don't realize is that the others are people who were once in the exact same position as you, but who had the nerve to try anyway. Every day, people like you and me change the world all the time, and believe it or not, there's actually a formula for doing it. Define your goal and shout about it. The first step to changing the world is to define what it is you want to achieve and then own it. Most of us will never change the world because we don't think that we're capable of it, and so we keep it to ourselves. The biggest ambitions are often things that we're embarrassed of, terrible though that is. But as soon as you start acknowledging what you really want to achieve and you start going for it, then you will be able to define your plan of action, and you will get attention from people who will be moved by your passion, ambition, and dedication. Big ideas will often get attention and a following much quicker than smaller ones. And that's how you move on to the next stage. Find powerful allies. This is the part that most people don't consider. Sure, you might lack the funding or authority to change the world. But if you have a good enough idea, then you can find someone who does have the power to. And if you can convince them, then they can trumpet your idea or give you the platform and funding you need to accomplish the things you need to accomplish. This is what Palmer Luckey did when he decided he wanted to make virtual reality a reality. Ironic though that sounds. First, he admitted to himself that that's what he wanted. Then he shouted about it on Kickstarter and got a huge backing. And then he took the idea to powerful people like John Carmack and Mark Zuckerberg. They gave him the funding, the resources, and the know-how, and now the Oculus Rift is poised to genuinely change the world. He started in his basement, and he got to where he is in just a few years. And you can do the exact same thing. The 80-20 principle, knowing where to put your effort in. Going big is often the best way to ensure your success. Create enough output, take enough chances, and eventually, you'll be sure to have a hit or 10 under your belt, which for many of us will be more than enough. But while working hard enough is often the secret to almost guaranteed success, you mustn't also underestimate the power of working smart. What it means to work smart. What it means to work smart is basically to be strategic in the way that you approach any problem or any ambition. In turn, this means approaching your aims in such a way that you'll be able to cut corners and accomplish the most with the minimal effort. In theory, this then will allow you to combine your smart strategy with huge output in order to accomplish the best possible results. Putting in 10,000 hours is a great way to become an expert, but the quality of those 10,000 hours also makes a big difference. The 80-20 rule. The 80-20 rule, also sometimes known as the Pareto principle, basically states that whatever it is that you do, 20% of your effort will yield 80% of your success. So if you sell 100 products, chances are that 20 of them, or even fewer, will make up the vast majority of your cash. The moral of this story is that if you throw enough paint at the wall, some is bound to stick. We often won't know what is going to be the most important aspect of our strategy, but once we do, it's then a good idea to focus on that smaller percentage that yields results. In the case of a business providing a service, it will often be the company that makes the vast majority of its money from just a few clients, while the others serve as nothing but a distraction, really. In other cases, it might be the small number of clients cause the vast majority of the problems. In such a case, it would be wise for that business to lose the 20% causing the 80% of the problem, and even to get rid of some of those clients that aren't bringing much to the table. Instead, focus purely on the ones that are generating the most income, and actually, life will be easier, and you'll earn much more. Then you can put in huge effort and see huge rewards for both them and you. The art of failing fast. If you want to achieve a lot in life, sometimes the secret is to stop trying so hard and to put out lower quality work. Wait, what? That's not what they told you at school, right? And it probably goes against pretty much everything you've been brought up to believe as well. But in fact, it's very often the case when it comes to really being successful. So let's take a look at why. What it means to fail fast. What I'm talking about here is failing fast. In business, this means creating your minimal viable product, or your MVP, and releasing that as quickly as possible. So a company will create a product that is really subpar in many ways, and that certainly could be better, and then they'll release 10 more. In the same time, another company that doesn't take the fail fast approach might only release a single product that's much better quality. Why is it better in some cases to release things that you don't really think are the best they could possibly be? Well, it comes down to the fact that these minimal viable products require smaller investment and allow you to get something out the door faster. That means that you can beat the competition to market, and it means that you don't lose out on such a big investment as you otherwise might do. More importantly, it means you can quickly release something else again next week as well. As a result, you'll be able to rapidly test the market and get an idea for whether or not people want to buy your product. If you get lots of interest and lots of sales, then you know that it's worth your while to invest even more time and more effort into that particular version because there's a market to buy it. If you don't get any interest, you move on, having taken the minimal financial hit. Meanwhile, the company that invested all their time, effort, and money on creating one fantastic product might risk that product failing and costing them huge amounts, possibly ending the business. Applying it to life. The fail fast technique can also be applied to other areas of your life. Basically, this means releasing a beta version into the public, and you can do this in all kinds of situations. For instance, if you're in a bar and want to go home with someone attractive, then instead of spending all night staring at one person, instead try smiling at as many people as possible. Some people will look the other way, but when someone finally smiles back, then you can go over and invest the time. See what other areas you can apply the fail fast approach to. How playing the numbers game can help you succeed at everything. Want to increase your likelihood at success? Then simply try more often. In gambling, this isn't a good idea, because it means you'll lose 100 times before you win and go broke. But in life, things are different. In life, you can fail thousands of times and bounce back stronger than you were before. But you only need one win. If you play the numbers, then, you can effectively rig yourself to succeed no matter what you do. In dating. I have a friend who applies this logic to dating. He's a funny guy, and every time we go on a night out, he'll set off to approach lots of women. In a typical scenario, he might chat up 10 to 20 girls on a night out, and 9 out of 10 times, he'll get rejected. We all laugh at him and tease him for it, but here's the thing. Really, the joke's on us. If you've done the math, then 9 out of 10 fails means that on a typical number, he'll succeed with 1 or 2 women, which means he's basically getting more action than all of us put together. Now that's success. In making money. You can also apply this to making money, as I once did. When Kindle first came out, there was something of a gold rush as people clamored to upload ebooks to Amazon. I started out by uploading a book or two, and it got a couple of hundred of downloads a month. I was happy, if underwhelmed. Then I realized that every book I uploaded would get me 2 more sales a month. And once the book was there, I wouldn't have to do anything to promote sales. Seeing as I'm capable of writing 10,000 words or more per day, that means I could write pretty much an ebook a day. Can you guess what I did? For 1 year, I uploaded an ebook or two every single day. And by the end, I had hundreds of ebooks in the store. All of them got at least 2 downloads a day, and 2 of them went massive. The result? A huge passive income that would pay my wages for traveling the whole subsequent year. The moral of the story, you make your own luck. Play the game enough and you will win, and make it big. Why you should keep trying. If you keep on trying at something, then you can never fail. Failure only happens when you give up, as otherwise all that's happened is you've had a setback and learned from it. If this sounds like cheesy self-help, it's not. In fact, this is very true when you consider what happens when you fail. Why you will probably fail. Say you want to create a YouTube channel that will make you lots of money so you can quit your day job. It's a common enough ambition, so maybe you can relate. The usual way to go about this is to create a YouTube channel using what you know about technology, and then to start uploading videos. If you're very, very, very lucky, or just highly talented, then you'll be seen by the right person, maybe go viral, and your channel will be a massive hit. But in most cases, unfortunately, that's just not going to happen. The reason for this is that you'll have no experience, and the odds are very firmly stacked against you. Being recognized on YouTube is very difficult because there's millions of other channels out there. Failure is learning. So what do? You take down your channel, then you create another one, and you try again. Only this time, you will probably be carrying over a few fans you generated from the last channel, and you'll be bringing over your knowledge and your experience. Now you'll know how to create videos that people like. You will have learned a bit about editing, and you'll know not to make the same mistake as last time. In other words, your new channel will be 10 times as good as the last one, and thus 10 times as likely to succeed. This right away is incredible progress, and really, failing the last time was the best thing that could have happened. But don't get your hopes up. To be honest, you're probably still going to fail. Only this time, you'll hopefully realize that that's okay. This time, you'll know that the next time you try, you'll be 10 times more likely to succeed again. And if you keep doing that, and keep plugging away, then eventually, you'll get to the point where you're doing everything completely perfectly. At this point, you'll be almost unable to fail. It's not success that makes you learn, get stronger, or get better. It's failure. So learn to value it. Why bodybuilding teaches you everything you need to know to succeed. Arnold Schwarzenegger could definitely be described as one of the most successful people alive on the planet today. Here's a guy who was born in a small Austrian village speaking no English. He decided early on he wanted to become a world-class bodybuilder, and everyone laughed at him and thought he was mad. He ignored them and became huge, moving to LA on a sponsorship from a bodybuilding magazine. He then learned English, started a business that made him rich, bricklaying, selling bodybuilding pamphlets, and investing in properties, and went on to win more bodybuilding competitions than anyone in the history of the sport. Not content, he decided he wanted to become the next big action star. With that accent, you must be kidding. A short time later, and he's the highest paid actor of all time. And you can guess what they all said when he decided he wanted to get into politics. What does Arnie believe helped him to accomplish all this? Bodybuilding. What you learn from bodybuilding. The main thing you get from bodybuilding is a hugely muscular body that, of course, increases your confidence and your power and opens a lot of doors. This is immediately highly useful for anyone with big ambitions. If nothing else, it'll get you noticed for sure. But on top of this, bodybuilding also teaches you something much more valuable, which is the value of sticking at something until your goals become manifest. When you work out, you're forced to drag yourself to the gym every single day, no matter how you feel, in order to train. This is the only way you can possibly compete with the other bodybuilders. Will you have bad days? Sure. But you'll also have good ones, and so you need to keep plugging away nonetheless. Bodybuilding teaches you iron determination and gives you the drive you need to stick to any goal. Ultimately, it teaches you how to make things happen, and this is incredibly powerful. Exercise for those with big plans. So if you want to succeed in life, you need to become a bodybuilder? Of course, that's not what I'm saying. But if you have big ambitions, then it pays to start exercising so that you'll start learning how to go after the things you really want and making them happen. As an added bonus, exercise will improve your health, your brain power, and even your mood. If you want to start making massive changes in your life, then the gym is one of the best places to start. Why big goals are more effective than small ones. A lot of us are afraid to admit our biggest goals and our greatest aims to people because we feel a bit silly when we do. In fact, a lot of us are afraid to admit our biggest goals even to ourselves. Think about it. When you ask a young child what they want to be, they'll often tell you that they want to be an astronaut or a football player or a rock star, maybe even a princess. Very few people will say accountant. But as you get older, these exciting answers become less and less common. Why is that? Is it because those cool jobs have become less appealing? Not at all. It's because we've become less ambitious. Why? Because people have told us we can't accomplish those big things. The power of the big goal. Actually, though, the surprising reality is that sometimes it's easier to achieve those really big goals than it is to achieve the small ones. Strange though that may sound, there are some very simple reasons for it. The first reason that going big works better than going small is that when you have a big goal, you'll actually be more likely to stick to it. Big ideas are exciting, and that means you'll feel passionate about them. Want to stuff envelopes? It's not easy to be enthusiastic about that. Want to change the world? Now you're going to be driven, and the result will be a flow state that makes you work twice as hard and twice as well. At the same time, your enthusiasm will be contagious, and when you tell people your big goals, they'll take notice. Some people will scoff, sure, but some people will get behind you. People like to get attached to things they find very exciting because they want to be a part of history. Meanwhile, when you aim really big, you'll be aiming for goals that fewer people are trying for. That means there will actually be less competition for what you're trying to do. How many people do you think are genuinely trying to become football players? There are a lot fewer than most other jobs, believe you me. Finally, if you aim really big and you still fail, then chances are you'll still be a big hit. If you aim for the stars, maybe you'll hit the moon. Don't shy away from what you really want to do, or you'll be constantly living your life on low volume. Embrace your ambition and go for it. Want to succeed in one thing? Change everything. If you want to be truly successful in any single area, then it really isn't enough to just change one aspect of your lifestyle or to commit to doing well in just that one aspect of your life. Normally, if you want to improve your fortunes in one area of your life, then you need to change everything. Want to do better in your career? You probably need to change your relationship and your health, too. Want to improve your health? It's time to change your relationship and your career. Unraveling the mystery of what's holding you back. So why then would this possibly be the case? Why would changing your career be an important move if you want to get into shape? Well, look at it this way. You probably already want to be as successful as possible in every area of your life. So if you could be healthier, then you probably would be. If you could be earning more, then you probably would be. The point? Something must be holding you back. If you're trying to get into shape and you keep failing to commit to your new training regimens, for example, it's probably wrong to place the blame on the quality of the workout program you were given. More likely, the problem is that you're coming home from work with zero energy left in order to do the things you want to do, like work out or cook a healthy meal. This then means that you'll have to change your career if you want to stand any chance of having the time and energy you need in order to work out. Maybe you also need to change your diet and your sleeping habits so that you'll have more energy in the mornings. Maybe you'll also need to discuss with your partner changing your routine. You might even need to cancel some of your weekly social commitments to make time. The point is that you aren't likely to be able to simply add a whole new large commitment to your routine without changing something else to make room. Makes sense, doesn't it? As for your career, well, you'll need to make some time in the evenings to be able to apply to other jobs, and you'll need to increase your energy and health if you're going to put your best foot forward. So to change one thing, you often need to change everything. But there's good news, too. Once you see the improvement in one area of your life, improvements in every other aspect will almost always follow. The most important single step to huge success? Go big. Most of us have things we want in our lives that we haven't quite yet achieved. Maybe you wish you were a rock star. Maybe you wish you were dating an incredibly hot supermodel. Maybe you wish you ran a blog that earned you thousands of dollars every month while you slept. These are all pretty standard goals, but the unfortunate thing is that most of us don't understand the steps we need to get there. The fact of the matter is that a huge number of people want these things, but only a very small fraction of us actually have them. What does this tell us? It tells us that we seriously need to change our approach. The good news, though, is that there's actually one very simple thing you can commit to right now that will make all the difference in your attempts to get what you want, and that's to commit to going big. What does it mean to go big? What does going big mean? Quite simply, it means pulling out all the stops and doing everything you possibly can to get to where you need and want to be in life. This means putting 100% effort in and doing everything you possibly can to accomplish your aims. So if we were to take the example of running a successful blog, most people who want to run a blog will launch one and then write for it maybe once or twice a week. The post they put up will be 500 words and they'll do very little actively to promote it. They'll treat it like the least important of hobbies, and yet they expect to somehow get massively rich from it. If you want your blog to be a full-time job, you need to treat it like a full-time job. That means committing in the evenings 5 times a week to writing at least 1,000 words for your blog and promoting each one of those posts actively. Smarter yet, have 3 blogs and post to all 3 every day. Think about how much content that is. Do you think there's any chance you could not eventually have one article go viral after a year of doing that? Even if each article only gets a few hits a year from Google, once you have enough articles, that doesn't matter. Likewise with the hot partner. Approach every attractive person you see, and 2 things will happen. You'll get some people saying yes, and you'll become incredibly confident about approaching people. Go big, and you almost can't fail. Time to go big.